First reading tonight is taken from Luke 1, 26 to 38, if you'd like to read along. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God onto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou wilt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
All is bright. Christ was born, and God sends us salvation that blesses Christmas more.
Another wee round of applause for him. That was fantastic. Brilliant. I'm sure there's proud parents and grandparents here. We're now going to have our second reading of the night. It's going to be from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. And the reader for this one is Claire Logan. Thanks, Claire.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen.
Thank you, Claire. We're going to sing two more carols now. During the first carol, we will lift our offering. So just as the musicians get ready, let's just pray and commit the offering to the Lord. Dear God, we're so grateful for, Lord, how much you have blessed us with, how much we have. Lord, especially just at this Christmas time, Lord, we think of so many who have nothing. And Lord, now just as we give gifts of love, Father, as we worship you by giving our tithes and our offerings to you, Lord, we ask that you would take the money, Lord, that you would bless it, Lord, that you would use it for the advancement of Christ's kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. The first carol that we're going to sing is 152, Once in Royal David's City. We'll remain seated just as we sing this one while the offering is lifted. Thanks, Glenn. Sing one more carol now as well. It's 155, the first Noel, and you can stand for this one, please. take your seats. Just before I bring just a bit of an epilogue for tonight, I've got a short video clip that I really wanted us to watch just before we did that. So if the guys can play that now, thanks.
Used to be summer when Christmas came round. Neath tall southern skies over sun-scorched ground, with the backyard cricket and the barbies, the beach. Munching on mangoes to watch the Queen's speech. The slatherings of sunscreen, the glorious glare, and toasting the sunshine in the warm evening air. It used to be summer when I was young. A golden age in a land far flung. But there came a point I crossed a divide, went up in the world and summer had died. December is dark now, the nights close in, so we huddle together as kith and as kin. It's winter now when Christmas rolls round. We celebrate still, though, with different surrounds. We mull the wine, strike the matches, light the fires, batten the hatches, gather around the warming beam of family love or a TV screen. So safe inside, no place to go, we toast marshmallows and let it snow. Summer's gone now. If you've been around, you've felt the fall, life's run aground. We've gone up in the world, seen the light die. So what's our hope? The dark defy? Stoke the hearth, retreat indoors, rug up warm with you and yours? The shadow reaches even here. But this is the place for Christmas cheer. It's dark in the Bible when Christmas is spoken. Always a bolt from the blue for the broken. It's the valley of shadows, the land of the dead. It's no place in the inn, so he stoops to the shed. He's born to the shameful. He bends to the weak. He becomes the lowly, the God who can't speak. And yet, what a word, this Savior who comes. Our dismal, abysmal depths he plumbs. Through crib and then cross, to compass our life, to carry and conquer our brother in strife. He became what we are, our failures he shouldered, to bring us to his life, forever enfolded. He took on our frailty, he took on all comers, to turn all our winters to glorious summers. It's Christmas now, whatever the weather. Some soak in the sun, some huddle together. But fair days or foul, our plight he embraces. Real Christmas shines in the darkest of places.
That was a video clip called Christmas in Dark Places. It was spoken word. It was, if you didn't pick up on that, it was an Australian. If you were wondering just what he was talking about, sunshine and sunscreen at Christmas. But tonight I have great news for everybody. I'm going to ask you a question. Who wants to be rich this Christmas? Now, before I say that, let me actually pick up my wallet. Let me pick up my checkbook. I've got a pen here somewhere. Who wants to be rich this Christmas? There's a few of you. Well, you're not going to get it from me. But the man who was playing the guitar earlier, who's now looking really relaxed, if you find him after the service, he'll sort you out. He's minted. But what is this about Christmas in dark places? Is it not a bit of a negative thing to be talking about tonight? Well, some of the statistics that it just had in the video clip there. In the UK, this Christmas, there will be 250,000 elderly people spending Christmas alone. There'll be 80,000 children homeless. There'll be 500,000 families who have felt the pain of the loss of a loved one in the past year. So it is a wonderful time of year, Christmas. We all love it. We have so many, we look forward to it for so long, the shops especially. But still, there's some sort of shadow that's kind of cast over it, isn't there? There is still bad stuff that happens at Christmas. So the Christmas season for many of us, we have that ideal, we have that perfect image that we love, don't we? We hope for a white Christmas. We hope just to have a log fire stoked up with family around as we sit on a big rug as we exchange presents and drink hot chocolate and just enjoy time with one another. But very often, for so many people, the reality is very different from what we really desire, from what we really yearn for at Christmas. For me, I guess, yesterday I was thinking about this. Yesterday was the 7-year anniversary of my Aunt Karen passing very suddenly. Thought about last year as well. On Boxing Day last year, had to get my pet dog put down. He was just too ill and too old. There's always something, there's some shadow always, isn't there? Just in the back of our mind around Christmas time. There is always an empty chair, perhaps, just at the table for loved ones who we miss dearly. But then there is so many good things, isn't there? There's so much excitement. And I probably shouldn't tell you this, but my brother Stephen still gets really excited on Christmas Eve. Can any of you boys and girls sleep on Christmas Eve? No, that's the same with my brother. He's up late and then he's up early the next morning all excited. You didn't hear that from me though. So there's so much that excites us. There's so much positives and good things that we really look forward to. For me as well, it is the Christmas dinner. I love getting home from church, having got so many hugs and seen so many Christmas jumpers in church, going home, having a cup of coffee and wrapping some presents, and then getting into Christmas lunch, which for me, the favorite part is homemade roasties. It's a nightmare to clean up after. You spend the whole of Christmas afternoon doing the dishes, actually. But it's worth it for those Christmas roasties. And you have that time around the table as a family, and you have friends. Oh, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. But still, it never seems to be perfect, does it? It never seems to be exactly what you're after. There's always something a little bit more that we're after. So I know the parents have worked really hard in the past year, and you've been listening to what your kids have been saying that they want for Christmas, and you've done your best, and you've done fantastically well at that. But still, in many homes, there'll be many, perhaps, complaints or sadness that they didn't get exactly what they wanted. We have ideals, and it doesn't always match up to them in the reality, does it? Maybe we'll get a white Christmas, maybe we won't. There was a little bit of snow today, but as I say, that was when we were singing. So we'll not promise anything for Wednesday. But what about that gap? What about that perhaps just shadow cast over your Christmas? Well, what I want to talk about just for a few minutes tonight is that actually that shadow and that thing that we love so much at Christmas, that time together as a family and as friends, both actually point to the same thing. And you're sitting thinking, how can a good time and a bad time point to the same thing? Because they both point to Jesus. Now, before a lot of you shut down and think, it's the usual Christmas carol talk. It's always about Christmas, it's about Jesus. Before you shut down, just give me a few minutes and I'll try to explain. How can both the shadow and the perfection of Christmas both point to Jesus in both of those moments? Well, I asked you, who wanted to be rich this Christmas? Well, obviously I wasn't talking about money. I was talking about something a lot deeper than money. So although many of us do feel a little bit of pain or stress or loneliness this Christmas, we do have those moments of happiness, those moments of just joy in our hearts. So I'm going to read just a verse out to you. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It's a version of it is on the screen. And I'm going to read it out from the King James. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. That's a really random verse to read out at a carol service. You know how full of love and kindness our Lord Jesus Christ was. Though he was very rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. So just for a few minutes, I'm just going to talk about three things about this verse, okay? So just to be organized. Nope, I'm going backward. Just to be organized, I've got some bullet points just so you can remember. The first one from this verse, Jesus was rich before birth, but chose to become poor. So important to say, this wasn't actually the start of Jesus' existence. You know, all of us, we think, oh, Jesus was born. But actually, that was Jesus being born as a man. But it's important to remember that Jesus is God the Son. Jesus did not have a beginning. In fact, Jesus made the beginning. He created everything just by speaking. While he was on this earth, he learned to trade as a carpenter. But before he made stools, Jesus made stars. When he came as a baby, he couldn't even speak. He couldn't communicate. But before that, Jesus had spoke and the entire universe came into being. Before Jesus was born, he had all the glories of heaven. He had the perfection. He was not limited in any way. He was not ever tired or hungry. He was continually worshipped by all of the angels because he was God, because he was the only one worthy of worship. So before Jesus was rich, Jesus, before he came, and we all know the nativity story, we all know the poorness of the stable, before he had that, Jesus was so rich. But he chose to become poor. That's not a choice many of us make. Really, when I asked earlier, who wants to be rich this Christmas? I'm pretty sure in each one of our hearts we're like, a bit of extra cash would be nice, yeah. Not many of us choose to go the other way. But there's something here in this verse that Jesus chose to become poor. And we're going to look in a few minutes at just why he did that. Here's another aspect. I'm probably quite a bad timekeeper. Jesus chose to enter into time. Before Jesus was born, he was even outside of time. He never had a beginning, he never has an end, but he chose to come into history at a certain point. He chose to come into history at a really weird place as well. If it was the equivalent of Northern Ireland, it would be like being born let's say Lurgan. You know, can anything good come from Lurgan? Right? Hopefully there's no Lurganites here. But he chose even the poorest of places to come and be born into. And if there is anyone from Lurgan, sorry, you can beat me up after. But he made this choice to come, and not to be born into a palace, but to be born into the lowest of places and to be placed into a wooden trough that animals feed out of. And this is something that we hear every year, but have you ever really considered that? What Jesus gave up in order to come into that point in time. Jesus was rich, but he chose to become poor. One last way that Jesus was rich. For all eternity past, Jesus had a perfect relationship, a perfect fellowship with God the Father in heaven. There was nothing in between them. Everything was completely perfect in that way. In choosing to become a man and choosing to be born here, he knew his main mission, his task, his reason for coming to earth was to become sin, was to take the punishment from God the Father for man's sin or man's rebellion against him. So in one way, Jesus was rich in friendship, in relationship, in fellowship with God. But he chose to become poor. He chose a lifetime of something that he didn't deserve. Jesus was rich. Second point, we are poor and need to become rich. So not many of us like to think too much in those terms, but I want you to use your imagination now. You've all been given a little bit of imagination, some more than others. But picture everyone in this church all of a sudden is transported and stuck in the middle of the Sahara Desert. So, well, we wouldn't be complaining about being cold then. But maybe some people would love it. Maybe the kids would love it. Like, I loved playing in the sand pit whenever I was a kid. So maybe the kids would dig out a wee shovel and they'd be playing in the sand and they'd be loving the sunshine. And even though sand is just as far as you can see, you'd probably be like putting some in your pockets just to play with later, just in case. But the adults, you'd be a little bit more concerned as you realize where you are. All of a sudden you realize, well, ooh, actually we're in a bit of danger here. The things that I need to survive, shelter, water, food, we don't have any of those things. The things that I need for life, I don't have. I'm poor in the things that I need for life. So in some way, actually, that's where all of us spiritually are when we're born. We're born in the middle of a desert where we don't have what we need for life. We have plenty of sand, but that is actually what's going to kill us. As we don't have the things that we need for life, we're in danger. So we're all actually in that same place right now. When we're born, we have plenty of sin in our life. Sin is just rejection of God. It's living in God's world as if God isn't real. Or it's living as if you were God. So we've got plenty of sand, but really we don't have what we need for life. We're poor and need to become rich. What we need actually is what Jesus had. What we need is a relationship and a close fellowship with God. We need peace with God. We need forgiveness from God for our sins. All of those things that Jesus actually was rich in before he came to earth, we need. We need to become rich. And the last point, Jesus became poor so that we might become rich. So the reason Jesus gave up heaven and became a baby in a manger, he became poor because it was the only possible way for us to become rich, to get what we actually really, really need. Peace with God, forgiveness from God, fellowship with God. This wasn't just something because Jesus was bored that he did. This was a divine rescue mission. He started off in a wooden manger, and he finished up on a wooden cross, all so that we could become rich, that we could have fellowship and relationship with God. Perhaps the most thing that you're looking forward to this Christmas is that time with family and with friends. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it, isn't it? You just love spending time with people who love you, who want to spend their life with you, who know you as you are, but still love you more than anything. And I know as families get together, there's sometimes fallouts over Christmas, and we think, oh, it's just because we're not used to spending that much time together. But really, that's actually just because of sin in our hearts. But that good thing that you desire, as I said at the start, is actually something that points to the riches that God can give. Because each of us was made, we were created, we were designed for a friendship with God, for fellowship with God. So whenever you have that close relationship with family and with friends, that's only a tiny, tiny shadow of what you were made for. How you find identity in your family, how you find a purpose and unconditional love is actually a pointer to Jesus, and that Jesus can give you what you were made for. So we know our families break down. We know we have our falling outs. But Jesus came to put aside that brokenness, to bring you back into a place where you can have unbroken, perfect fellowship with God, not just for one Christmas time, but for all time. Only way possible that we would become rich was that if Jesus became poor. And this was some turning point in history 2,000 years ago. If this actually is what Christmas is all about, then why do we get so caught up with little baby Jesus, and we love our dress up, and we love the nativity, and we love giving presents? But really, if this is what Christmas is really all about, then it brings a whole new level of joy to us. It brings a whole new experience this Christmas. It brings hope to this Christmas. So even just this afternoon, as we were in some of the care homes singing, I got chatting to a lady called Charlotte. She won't mind me telling you this story. And just to make chit-chat, I asked her, are you looking forward to Christmas? And she looked at me and she said, to be honest, not really. And I felt a bit wick at that point, but she went on to explain why. She has no family left alive. Her nearest of kin live in Canada. She's been in the care home for 9 months. She's just been diagnosed with Parkinson's. But her mind is still sharp enough to know the future that lies ahead of her. She knows what she's going to go through with this illness. And just as I was talking to her, we started to talk about Jesus. And I asked her if she had any hope this Christmas. And she told me that she didn't have any hope. She was so broken just by the shadows that were cast over her this Christmas, by remembering family that were no longer with her, that she had no hope. And we just had a conversation about, well, when the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, peace, I bring good news, glad tidings to all people. I asked her what that might mean for her today in her situation, in her life. And she wasn't really sure, but we went on to talk about it. And we talked about, well, if the first Christmas really did happen, if God really became man, then there is hope for her today. There is hope for her tomorrow. Why? Because God looked at the poorness that we have. God looked at the brokenness of our lives, the brokenness of this world. And he knew there was only one way to fix it. And he set into play that rescue plan, that rescue mission to rescue us from the brokenness, from the shadows of the pain and the suffering of Christmas, to bring us into the light, to bring us into the hope of our fellowship and relationship with God forever. Gone will be the days when you will have sadness and tears in your heart. Gone will be the days when you are broken and lonely. And as we talked, I trust that Charlotte was able to grasp something of what the first Christmas really was all about. It was about hope in the darkest of places. If the first Christmas didn't happen, then the shadows that we live under would be forever. There would be no hope. The suffering would have no end in sight. Illness would have no end in sight. Death would have no end in sight. I trust you believe that the first Christmas was real. That it's not some myth, it's not some just nice story that we like to tell our children. Because when you believe that the first Christmas was real, that God really did become man, you're believing in something much bigger than that. You're believing that there's hope. You're believing that there's a way out of our sin and a way back into what you were made for. So just as I close this, I want to just ask you a question. Whether you're hoping for a fairy tale Christmas this year, or whether you're just so lonely and conscious just of the shadows over Christmas this year, can you see how they both point to Jesus? And what's your response to him then? So I'm not talking about little baby Jesus lying in a manger that was born 2,000 years ago, because he has no demands on you today. I'm not even talking about Jesus dying on a cross for your sin, because again, that was 2,000 years ago. But what I'm going to ask is, what is your response to Jesus as to who he is today? Right now, I'm going to read to you just a few verses from Revelation. This is the Jesus with whom we're celebrating tonight. This is Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came out from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave." What's your response to that Jesus today? Just as you maybe head across to the hall for tea or for coffee, or as you head home with family, if there's real hope in the first Christmas, do you not think that there is such a need for you to find out now what that hope is for you in your life? I've already told you what the hope was for Charlotte in her days ahead. But what is the hope for you until you really grasp the true Jesus? Will you ever get out of your darkness? I trust that tonight you'll really see the hope of the first Christmas. Whether it be in the dark place, or whether it just be in what you, in the fairy tale Christmas that you're looking for on Wednesday. I hope you see, truly see, the hope that comes with it. Let's just pray. Dear God, we praise you and thank you that there is hope even in the darkest of Christmases. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there is an end, Lord, to all of the shadows that come across us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus came. God became man, Lord, to deal with the brokenness of this world, to save sinners. Lord, we thank you and praise you because that gives us such joy and such thankfulness, Lord, that for anyone who trusts in Jesus to be saved from their brokenness, Lord, you make them whole, you make them new. And Lord, we just ask for, Lord, that perspective this Christmas. Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, will you truly just remind us and open our eyes, Lord, to what Christmas is really all about? Hope in dark places. Lord, help us just as families and as friends, Lord, to have such a great time together. And Lord, we thank you that you have made us for relationships. But Lord, you've made us first for a relationship to know you. Lord, for all those here who know you, we thank you and we praise you for the amazing gift that you've given us in Jesus. Father, for those who don't know you, I ask, Lord, that you would open their eyes to the real hope of the first Christmas. Lord, just as we continue just to sing praise and worship to Jesus, Lord, may these truths drop down into our hearts, Lord. May we experience them in our depths. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You've listened really well. We're going to now have a solo piece from one of our own, Daphne Hall, who's going to come and sing O Holy Night. Thank you.
Stars are bright.
Thank you so much, Daphne. That was beautiful. We're going to just close off our carol service with one that we can all sing together, a good rousing one. O come, all ye faithful. 149. 149. O come, all ye faithful.
Thank you.
take this chance to wish you all a very happy Christmas and a Merry New Year as well. We'll maybe see some of you at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, but just before we head over to the hall for tea and coffee, let's close the service in prayer. Father, we thank you. We just thank you so much that because Christ chose to become poor, we can become rich. Father, we just thank you so much that this Christmas, Lord, even the things that we enjoy so much, the relationships, Lord, we thank you that we can have true richness this Christmas, that we can have, Lord, peace with you, forgiveness from you, and be with you forever just to enjoy you. We thank you for that message of hope tonight, Lord, as we head over to the hall or head our separate ways, Lord, may we go in peace, safety in our travels, Lord, and just ask that each household will just have a truly rich Christmas this year. In Jesus' name, amen. As well in tonight's service. It was much appreciated, and we just thank you for that.